I'm John Dankosky from Next and the New England News Collaborative. Election Day produced some historic results, including the victories of Ayanna Pressley and Johanna Hayes, who are now the first two black women to represent our region in Congress. Pressley spoke to WBUR's Morning Edition on the morning after her election about the importance of diversity in elected officials.
Anytime we're engaging more diverse voices, or just a diversity of voices, a diversity of perspective and opinion and thought in the corridors of power and around the policy and decision-making tables, we're all better for it.
And in her victory speech, Hayes emphasized the importance of her win to those who are traditionally underrepresented in politics.
This is so much bigger than me. This is about all of them grabbing a little piece of that and seeing themselves in it and know that they, too, can make history.
Kalila Brown Dean is an associate professor of political science at Quinnipiac University. She's here to discuss what these victories mean. Kalila, welcome to Next.
Thanks for having me.
How significant is this?
I think it's major, not just for Congress, but for these two states that have had a history of battles over issues of race and also gender and class to now elect these two women. It's also a moment for us to reflect and ask ourselves why it took us until 2018 to break this kind of barrier. And what will it mean for candidates who come after Ayanna Pressley and Johanna Hayes?
You know, it's interesting. I want to get back to that second question and what it does mean that we took so long. But I want to talk about these individual women because these are very different stories. Ayanna Pressley, a very popular and a very powerful Boston City Councilwoman. She's someone who built a political career, and she's going to represent the 7th Congressional District in Massachusetts, which is the only majority-minority district in that entire state. So in some ways, she's the perfect candidate to take that leap because she's really made a career of serving the people in that district.
She's made a career serving the people in the district, but she's also had to fight some really tough battles within communities of people saying, we're okay with having an African-American representative, but we're not sure about having an African-American woman. And part of the story overall is that often we equate women's leadership with white women and we equate black leadership with black men. So Ayanna Pressley has faced those battles both within and across communities and really established herself as a politician who can build those bridges.
Now, Johanna Hayes in Connecticut, not a politician. She comes from a very different background. She grew up in Waterbury, Connecticut. She was a single mom. She was a teenage mom. She had a lot of poverty and troubles in her background, and she rose up to become the National Teacher of the Year. This is a different path to Congress.
It's a different path to Congress, but it's also the American dream that here is someone who worked really hard, who invested in education, invested in herself, and didn't give up. That is a story that I think is most familiar to people. Not everyone has a position handed to them. Not everyone inherits money and resources and connections to be able to do that. I think her approach to issues in Congress may be different from Pressley's, but it will come from the same perspective of community empowerment, not just self-advancement.
So what does it say about old stodgy New England, which is also blue progressive New England, that it took us this long to finally have black women serving in Congress? It seems as though in 2018, that's something that probably could have happened by now.
It could have happened and it should have happened, but it didn't. And we have to ask the question of why. You know, as someone who grew up in Virginia, we always thought of the North as being this progressive place. And then we realize in many ways, New England is simply up south. So at the same time that we're electing these women in Massachusetts and Connecticut, you had a black woman representative in Vermont decide not to continue running because of the death threats that she received and that her family received. So while you have two candidates, two places that have embraced that difference, there are still places across New England where difference is seen as a threat. And when you disrupt the status quo, people respond in bizarre ways.
And I'll say, you're a black woman from the South.
in academia,
yes,
in New England, the heart of academia, mm-hmm, in America. Mm-hmm. So you speak from some experience, I'm sure.
I do. So I've experienced that of people questioning my ability. You know, I still have people who can't believe that I'm a tenured professor, and they think it's a compliment to say, oh, you're so articulate. Well, I do have a PhD, so that usually comes with the territory. But part of how I approach this and how these women as candidates are approaching it is understanding that this is different for many people. And how do you find that common ground? That's even more important in politics, because you want to get things done. You don't want to just be there because of who you are, but because of what you do.
We had a couple of other firsts. Janet Mills, the Attorney General of the state of Maine, becomes the first female governor of that state, taking over for Paula Page. And Chris Pappas, a Democrat, becomes the first openly gay member of Congress from the state of New Hampshire. So there's more firsts there, Kalila, mm-hmm, and it seems to track across the country, not just this Hayes and Presley victories, but also these others. We see an awful lot of diversity sweeping across elected officials in America and also here in New England.
So Johanna Hayes was criticized for saying that if Congress starts to look like us, they can't stop us. And what we're seeing is that the us represents so many groups. We are all members of multiple groups at once. So this intersectional approach of saying, let's look at race, let's look at gender, let's look at gender identity, let's look at sexual orientation, and understand that everyone has gifts to bring to these spaces. And how do we create spaces? How do we create institutions that affirm that and don't try to limit what we expect of people, especially across partisan lines?
But that's really interesting, too, because when someone says, I want representatives that look like us, and you're a black woman, the first thing that most of white America thinks is, well, she must be talking about, mm-hmm, blacks and women. But it's these multiple varied stories, mm-hmm, that we don't, I guess, have time for when we have these quick political conversations that we're always having.
We want quick bites and quick hits. I need to be able to put you into a box and make a shortcut to determine, are you like me? Are you not like me? And can I trust you with my vote? We live varied intersectional lives, but politics tries to make us choose that. So I always say, when people respond negatively to a Johanna Hayes comment about Congress looking like us, what is it about that comment that offends you? Do you see that saying it should look like us makes you feel like you're not included? And that's a bias. So we all have biases. That's a bias that we have to interrogate. This country is changing. It's changing in remarkable ways. And we can either embrace that change or be fearful of it. I choose to embrace it.
I guess I'm just wondering what you think this looks like in a couple years if we're not talking so much about firsts, but we're talking about New England representation in Congress and in state houses that looks a little bit more like the new England.
Right. So it's great to be the first. It's detrimental to be the only. Mm. And that is where I think these candidates face a challenge. So that if you break this barrier and you're the first in that structure, but you're not working in a way to substantively represent the interests of people in New England, it really doesn't matter. And you end up being a one-term candidate or one-term politician who can't convert that into strength. And these candidates enter into institutions that are often hostile, mm-hmm, to their very presence. They have to build coalitions. They have to work across barriers, because at the end of the day, that's what gets you back into office.
Kalila Brown-Dean is Associate Professor of Political Science at Quinnipiac University. Kalila, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Listen to Next on NPR One, or wherever you get your podcasts.